Welcome into the Long Drive Impact 89FM's Own Golf Podcast, broadcasting live from the Impact 89FM studios on the campus of Michigan State University. I'm your host, Grace Gudlerick, tonight joined by Tim Marshall and Jackson McIntyre. Boys have not been together in quite some time. We missed a handful of tournaments, but we are quickly approaching easily one of the best sports seasons throughout the entire year. We've got the Masters coming up. March Madness starts tomorrow. Already started with first four. First round starts tomorrow. Like I said, Masters coming up. We are about a little over a week away from opening day of baseball season. So how are we feeling?
Feeling good to be back. Kind of setting up, preparing for this. Excited for the weekend of golf. I watched a lot of the players this past weekend, so yeah, just excited to talk golf.
Oh yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, we haven't been together in quite some time, busy schedules, but we're here to talk some golf, so we'll get it going, breaking it down, starting with a couple little bits of news surrounding the PGA Tour and the golf world. Monday, the day after the Players Championship, a plane registered to Tiger Woods, as well as his yacht, a plane registered to the PGA Tour, as well as a plane owned by LIV Golf, as well as John Henry with the Fenway Sports Group. They were all spotted and tracked to the Bahamas, where there was supposedly this secret undercover meeting between the two sides in which they played golf. Very little details have come out about that meeting that took place on Monday. This is obviously Wednesday night that we're recording this. So just kind of awaiting to hear what has come out of it. But have you guys seen anything that I really haven't? Like, what do we make of this? Is there going to be the deal was supposedly going to be done by the Masters. Do we think that's going to happen?
I doubt it. I think we'll probably push back to, I think they'll say around U.S. Open time. Because there's so many external factors with it. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a really good stepping stone. It's not to say that the deal won't be, I feel like it'll be finished, but it'll be hard to get it over the finish line when you're dealing with like the U.S. government and just world politics. It's tough to do. So I think they'll get something. I bet they're probably 80% there already, especially with a meeting like this. But I think they just need more time to really finalize it.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, there's still subpoenas, open investigations per the U.S. Senate subcommittee. Like, this is still a very open case, you might as well say. Nothing's been adjudicated yet, if you're putting it in legal terms. I mean, it's an open wound, so nobody really knows what's going on.
They probably had the target of the Masters in mind to let everybody know that they were going to be done with it. It just needed, like, it's definitely not going to be done by the Masters.
Well,
that was probably just, like, the first step, like, oh, hey, this is our goal, it's done, probably.
I think that was
push it back.
Probably just, like, foreshadowing. Okay, we knew we weren't going to get it done by December 31st of 2023, so they're scrambling to find a date, and okay, Masters, perfect, that's 4 months away, we should have enough time. They were probably already about 50 to 60% of the way done with the deal, whatever, by the end of the calendar year 2023, so they're like, okay, Masters, just kind of blindfolded, throw a pin at the wall, the Masters was the date, perfect, that's it. But it doesn't seem like anything's going to get done.
Yeah, and even the Masters date is pretty arbitrary. Like, nothing, even if they finalize something, they'll play out these years. I think it'll be concerning if they push it back to, like, late 2024, because I personally don't want to see this form of these two separate leagues in 2025. I think if they can have a united solution by 2025, I think this will just be a blip in golf history, a 2-3 year thing, and then we'll just get back to normal.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and it doesn't really matter which side you were on when LIV kind of emerged. At this point, you need to put those viewpoints aside and realize that though these two leagues, whatever, rival leagues, coming together is going to benefit the game of golf. Like, if you need to, just from my personal opinion, you need to kind of put the differences aside and realize that them coming together is going to do far more for, one, the game of golf, two, viewership, three, fan experience, four, getting all these all these big names back playing on the same courses than keeping them separate. Like, it's...
And the Masters will be big for that, because we haven't seen everyone together in about 9 months now. So
yeah.
Well, by the time the Masters, it will be 9 months. But I, yeah, you just need to, they need to realize that, like, other leagues, if they, you were to split off half the talent, like, obviously the games aren't going to be as good. So bringing everyone back together, I think that will do a lot for the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, kind of moving on. The Olympics came out today. The IOC came out and said that they are very, very close to adding a mixed team event, men's and women's team event, 2028 Los Angeles. That will obviously take place at Riviera. How do we feel about that? I mean, that's going to be fun. Because cool. We've seen the emergence of, like, the match with most recently Max Homa, Rory McIlroy. I know they were playing with each other, but against Rose Zhang and Lexi Thompson. I mean, if it was like a mixed, like, kind of doubles event or whatever, like it is, what's the event they play in Florida at the end of the year?
Not PNC, something.
Nope, it's the week before the PNC. Yeah, whatever the name of that event is, I mean, the event hits. Like, it's, people want to watch it. That's cool.
And this will give the opportunity to younger players that won't be able to play in the Olympics for just the regular men's or regular women's title. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to play in this mixed event. Hopefully they kind of treat this like they treated hockey, where like they have the college kids kind of do it. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yes.
To really give the next generation the spotlight on a world stage like the Olympics.
I like that. It's a good idea, Tim.
I'm open. I'll let the USA, USA steal my ideas for that.
Yeah, that's cool. You could probably make some money off of that. Kind of moving on. It's been a rotating door of NBC analysts over the last few weeks. Obviously, NBC is the main broadcaster for the weeks leading up to the Masters, of which CBS will take over again. CBS is obviously very busy with March Madness, which starts tomorrow. So it's been a rotating door. Like I said, Kevin Kisner is kind of the front runner, as the way that everything has kind of played out and everything seems, everybody loves him. Golf Twitter goes crazy over him. He's very well liked by not only the players on the PGA Tour, but almost every fan. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say they have a problem with Kevin Kisner. Nota Begay will be in the booth as the main analyst this week because Kevin Kisner is actually in the field, surprisingly. Kurt Byram, he was also in there. So how do we feel? Is Kevin Kisner the front runner?
Yes.
Yes.
By far. Ain't no hobby. Like,
it ain't no hobby. I love that.
That like was a phrase that was like funny on Twitter like a couple years ago with him in the clips. Like, it's like beyond him now. Like, that's how like just widespread he is as just a personality growing the game of golf. And he can continue doing that with NBC. I thought NBC's coverage of the players this week was really good.
Oh, I thought it was great.
And I've been a hater of NBC the last few years. I thought CBS has had much better coverage. But this week at the players, they really stepped up with some really entertaining golf coverage.
Yeah, I mean, they brought Roger Maltby, Gary Koch back in. I mean, those guys are, God, one of my favorite broadcasts of all time, NBC broadcast, is the 2019 match play. Of course, match play, we don't get to see it this year. Obviously, it is extinct. But that was my longtime favorite event on the PGA Tour. Kevin Kisner wins it in 2019. You had Roger Maltby following him, I believe. Nota Begay following Matt Kuchar in the championship match. This was Johnny Miller's last season in the booth. It was him. I think Dan Hicks does a great job. I think NBC hits it out of the park every time I listen to him. I like him. I've never had a problem with them. I never had a problem with Paul Azinger. A lot of people did. I thought he was fine.
I think I was watching significantly more golf than commercials.
Yeah, percentages were I'd say not a sweet spot, because we're still kind of a lot of just corporations snuck into the golf. But hopefully we can ease that out and realize that people are there to watch the golf and not commercials.
Even when they're doing like a playing through thing where it's like half commercial, half golf, that's fine. I mean, I'm still watching golf.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that necessarily. Like, I mean, you don't have commentary, but that's not a big deal. Like, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever.
But especially that final stretch where it was Scotty's already in the clubhouse, and you have Wyndham Clark and Xander Schauffele on 17, and then through 18, they were switching back to Harmon, who was on 18 putting to tie the lead. It was all moving very fast pace, and you were seeing golf shots. You were seeing the lead up to it, and I think the players delivered. I think that was the first, like, I'm not going to say A+. I'll say, I'll give it an A+ for an event. I think that was the first A+ event in the year PGA Tour.
We'll get to it when we actually kind of break down the players a little bit, but they got hosed on a great playoff. But we'll get there in a couple minutes. Yep. John Rahm comes out with his Champions Dinner menu a few days ago. Looks just absolutely to die for. You have to win the Masters, obviously. Unless you are Chairman Fred Ridley, you get an honorary invite. It's Basque Country ribeye as well as many appetizers from his home region in Spain, as well as a fish on there. Just absolutely looks to die for. Full Swing Season 2 released.
Can I just mention one more thing about the Masters thing?
Yeah.
John Rahm. I just learned this, that the champion has to pay for the entire dinner, but that is not a problem for John Rahm after that $600 million contract.
Yeah, so. That's interesting because I was reading about it yesterday when I was sitting in class when I probably should have been taking notes. If there's any professors listening, I'm sorry. Tiger wins in 1997, first of five. And it was kind of the article was going along the lines of how the Champions Dinner has evolved. Like, Dustin Johnson had a very elaborate one a few years ago after he won it in the COVID year. Hideki Matsuyama was very predicated on his Japanese heritage in 2022 for the dinner. But Tiger's inaugural one was like chicken tenders, burgers, milkshakes, and French fries. Like, I mean, it can be as simple as that if you want it to be. So, it's very respectable. It's a very cool thing, though. Yeah. Full Swing Season 2 release, Jackson. I know you said that you finished it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only on, I think, episode 2, I think.
I am on episode 2.
Episode 2. Yeah. So, without spoiling it, initial reactions of what do you think about it? Because it's released since our last podcast.
I got emotionally invested.
Yeah, I would say the first two episodes are great. I mean, it kind of lays out everything that's happened. I assume as I go further that you kind of get more into like the player stories. Obviously Rory is really the big character, the main character in the first couple episodes, obviously dealing with PGA Tour, LIV Golf, everything surrounding that. So yeah, it'll be fun. A couple LIV Golf events since we've been away. Joaquin Neiman wins LIV Jeddah, and that was also the return of Anthony Kim. Did you guys watch any of the Jeddah tournament? Watch him play?
No. I saw some highlights of some shanks and also a couple high 70 numbers from Anthony Kim, unfortunately.
But I believe it was 76-76 to begin. Shot a pretty good round, the third round, but still finished dead last in Jeddah. Went to Hong Kong the week afterwards. And I think it was a little bit better finish, incredibly high.
He had one day where he shot 65.
65, yeah. That was obviously won by Abraham Answer and all the PGA Tour events since we've been away. Jake Knapp bursting onto the scene with his win at the Mexico Open. How do we feel about him? He's kind of everybody says he's got the makings of a superstar, basically. Do you guys see it?
Yes.
You think so?
And that course fit him perfectly. Entering the year that he was looking at the courses that the bombers really fit well, because that's what he is. He has a super high swing speed, super high ball speed, and that course has fit his game perfectly. And I'm excited to see him play further this year.
Yeah, I mean, had a, I believe, top five finish at the Farmers, which Torrey Pines is always tough place to play. Goes down to Mexico, wins. Couple shaky finishes the last few weeks that he's been on tour.
He's gritty, though.
He is. And you know, the one thing that everybody says about him is, I mean, everybody brings up the story about he was a bouncer at a nightclub in hometown, wherever he's from in Southern California. He's an Anaheim Ducks fan, obviously. Everybody knows that about him. He's just kind of like that gritty, grinded out, but just Southern California cool type that everybody likes. Just really relaxed out there. Doesn't really let a lot of things get to him. So, yeah, I mean, I think he could have some profound success. Another guy that coming out of college was supposed to be the next best thing and has finally broken through on the PGA Tour. Austin Eckroat wins the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches in a Monday finish. Obviously, that kind of marred a little bit of the lead-up to the Seminole Pro-Am, which would have been I mean, that was obviously a really cool thing to pay attention to, if anybody paid attention to that. But yeah, Austin Ekrow, how do we feel about him?
I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan of all those Oklahoma State guys, back to Victor Hovland. And,
oh, he's an Oklahoma guy.
Yeah, Oklahoma. He's Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
Yeah, no, Oklahoma.
I thought he was Oklahoma State.
Oh, we got a Austin Ekrow.
Oklahoma State University.
Oh, he was Oklahoma State guy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
I swore he was Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think he won it too. I think he won the NCAA a few years ago. Yeah. So, I'm a big fan of those guys. And yeah, he's just another one. He was a big AM for a while, and then kind of went away. That's kind of the path these guys take, where they're in these masters, they're not contending, but they're getting shown on TV at the brightest stage, and then they kind of have to work through the Corn Ferry Tour for a couple of years, the low-level events, and then they end up winning. So congrats to him.
Yeah.
I think he's he had a good start to the year. I remember he had like two top fives or something to begin the year, and then he had a little down spurt. Then he finally got the win. So, I mean, if his like coming backstage from not having it is winning events, then I think he's got a high ceiling.
Yeah, a lot of upside. Obviously, it's a word you're going to hear as we approach the NFL draft. Guys with high ceilings, a lot of upside. That's Austin Ekrow. I think Jake Knapp, you can throw on that list. A guy that is already the consensus number one player in the world, has won back-to-back weeks, Scottie Scheffler. How do we feel about first his Arnold Palmer win, and then second in 3 years, and then defending the players? We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But first, Arnold Palmer. What initial reactions of the Arnold Palmer, Scottie Scheffler winning for the second time in 3 years?
He just turns it on for these elevated events. I mean, he's always there. I'd say the putter turns on for the elevated events, where he can just really dial it in, and he
switched to that spider, and then...
Rory was in the booth and said, I'd love to see Scottie putt with a mallet, switches to the spider, and wins two times in 2 weeks. So,
yeah, and I mean, if we want to jump to this past week, he was battling those neck injuries too, and he still was able to.
I was watching. He was in a featured group. He went out early on Friday morning, and I was watching it. And I believe he went off at 10, and by the time he got to the 14 tee box, he was sitting in a lawn chair getting worked out by his trainer, had tape on his neck and upper left arm for the rest of the weekend, and wins at minus 20. Like, he's the consensus best golfer on the planet right now.
He was the first one to win down five on Sunday. And you never, at least personally, it was never out of the question for him.
Yeah, no.
Like, he started hot, and he was like, oh, he's going to win this then.
Even when he was five back, I was never like, nah.
I actually took him when he was down. I noticed that he was down three, and I was like, oh, I'm live betting on him.
Yeah, because I mean, like, win, so. It's not going to discount necessarily, like, Xander. That's our next thing that we've got here. Xander, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman. I mean, these are all major. Xander is on the edge. Top 10, 15 players in the world. The PGA Tour had a playoff occurred. That could have been the best possible thing, that the PGA Tour, along with the broadcast, Scottie Scheffler wins it. That might have been just
have to go to 17 for a playoff, right?
I believe they go to, is it 18 and then 17, 18 after
probably.
That?
Probably. They
something like
that. That's a huge miss if they don't go to.
Oh my god!
Like that. You if they could run that back on. I would be fine if they just went 17 all the way through.
A playoff in that scenario with those names. Some of the bigger names on the PGA Tour at this point, like, that could have just put the PGA Tour over the edge.
I feel like, was there one, it might have not been a playoff, but I remember one year it was Sergio and Tiger, and they were in contention, and there was a big shot on 17. That's why 17 is the best hole, because it's late in the round, it's tough, and I mean, those guys that were chasing, Wyndham Clark and Xander Schauffele, they both hit great shots with all the pressure on the line.
Oh, yeah.
And then Xander missed his putt, and Wyndham made it, but it was just that was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean,
that whole like last hour and a half of golf was like,
oh, I was locked in.
My eyes were like,
I was locked in. I probably didn't blink for 2 hours just watching that. It was incredible. But leads us to the next thing that we have here on the list. Can Xander Schauffele ever win the big one? A gold medalist a couple of years ago at the Olympics. Lot of close calls, hell of a lot of close calls, but he's getting. Progressing into his career where he is sort of maybe already hit his prime, or he's in his prime right now. The window is closing. Do we think he can convert?
I wouldn't say his window's closing when you look at,
but very slowly closing.
Yeah, I'd say he's at his peak right now, but it only takes 1 week to change the narrative.
It's true. Very true.
When you look at a guy like DJ or, those guys where it takes a while. I mean, it takes a while to win on tour, and he's the best thing he can do is just keep putting himself in these scenarios.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while now, but in like 2017 when he was in the final group at the British Open, you're like, oh, he'll be here for a lot longer. Now, it's been almost 7 years. So,
yeah.
He's got it though. He's good.
Oh, he's got it. He has everything in the toolbox to win a major.
That's what he has over everybody else though.
So and before
that next best guy to win.
And before this week, I feel like you'd see him in the final group or two on Sunday, and he would kind of whittle away. That didn't really happen this week. He just got beat by a peak performer of Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, yeah.
Like this isn't a scenario where Xander's like, oh man. I mean, obviously you want to win, but you're not really discouraged by the fact that you got beat by Scottie Scheffler, who's just playing amazing golf at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, and I believe it was 14 and 15, I believe. Back-to-back bogeys coming down the stretch for Xander, which that's obviously a killer. I mean, if you're in this type of position, back-to-back bogeys down the stretch on a back nine on Sunday is going to do nothing but kill you. And you take those away, maybe add one, maybe add another birdie, whatever.
Make that putt on 17.
That's a really tough putt. You make that putt on 17. You're in a playoff with Scottie Scheffler, but at this point, nobody's going to be upset with getting to 20 under. Had he hypothetically gone into a playoff with Scottie, Scottie was going to beat him. That's just how well he's playing right now. He was just going to beat him. He was just going to go out there. It was not going to be any ifs, ands, and buts about it. Scottie was just going to beat him.
I mentioned this before the show. What do you guys think about that number being at 20 at Sawgrass? At the fifth major, as they say.
20?
That's kind
of... At Sawgrass. I feel like... This week we could see like eight or nine, which is incredible for a purse of, 8.4 million, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I think, and this is a fun course to watch. I really like watching the Valspar. It's a great event. Last leg of the Florida Swing. But 20 at the Players' Championship, the fifth major. I understand there's a lot of guys, like a lot of really good players in the field. This is probably the best field in golf, aside from the majors. It obviously is. But 20 at Sawgrass just
seems a little too high, doesn't it?
It's off. It's off. Something's off. I feel like, if you can aim for like, 12 to 14, I feel like would hit it for me. I feel like that'd be a really, really solid tournament.
And obviously it changes from year to year. I mean, a couple years ago, there was that one where it was impossible to land on 17 because of the wind. If you guys remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it plays tougher. And sometimes, I remember last year it was super wet and people were firing darts in. So it does kind of vary year to year, but I think
do you guys remember... Prime DJ, who had like a round, he had like a tournament where he finished like 37 under or something like that.
Yeah, it was in Boston.
That was another
TPC course.
Yeah, TPC, that was Boston. TPC Boston 2020 Northern Trust shot 60. Scottie Scheffler shot 59 the day before. DJ went out second round, shot 60, and I believe he made it to 31.
Something crazy like that. And let's say it's not that terrible. It's not that bad at this point.
Oh, where,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
They're not going to go back or anything, but...
But, if Prime Scottie is shooting 20 under at Sawgrass, then,
Is Scottie Scheffler in his prime? Is he at his prime yet?
I mean, he's already 11th on the money list all time.
But he...
Damn. Wait, really?
Yeah. It's 11th or 12th. I was listening to Foreplay the other day. He's, already a top 15.
What is he, 25, 26? He has 10 more years of this ability left in
him. All he needs to do this year is win, two.
But now everything's
clicking.
Two big
weeks.
But now everything is clicking. Does he win a major this year?
Yes.
He wins a major this year. Does he win two? Yes. Can he win two?
Yeah, yes. Probably. Honestly, yes.
He could probably win every single tournament.
What do you think the odds are on him winning? Would you put the line at 1.5?
Yes.
Would that be the even money at 1.5?
No.
I'd put 1.5 Scottie Scheffler majors this year. I'll put it -150.
You think it's that? I'd say it's.
I think he can win two. I think he can go out there and win two.
I think he can too, but yep. That's to win. Like to I win, I think one might be like
I have a,
guaranteed. Like he's going to find a way to win.
I have a Scotty all four majors top five bet.
That's,
oh my God. I think he did
that last year. He could do that without the putter. Now he has the putter going.
He can just, I think he's going to obliterate Pinehurst. Yeah. Augusta, oh my God, he's going to obliterate Pinehurst.
If we're talking about a place where the number could get
crazy at Valhalla.
Where the number I can't wait for a Scotty and Joaquin playoff at Augusta.
Joaquin Neiman, that's another guy.
He's dialed right now.
He's playing incredibly good golf right now.
Scotty, yeah. Joaquin playoff at Augusta, can you imagine?
That'd be incredible, PGA. Yeah. I mean, well, Joaquin Neiman had to fight for a sponsor's exemption.
Yeah. We haven't had a playoff in a while at Augusta. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that would be really fun. Yeah, I mean, it. Consensus number one right now. Probably Rory, you haven't really heard a lot of Jon Rahm on the live circuit. Joaquin Neiman playing incredibly good golf. You can't really discount Wyndham Clark, like him or not. He's a brash competitor. Maybe seems like he's a little bit too cocky, given that he's only won, three times on tour.
He's just so passionate, though.
He's incredibly passionate, and he's a gifted athlete, and he's figuring out the mental game of golf, which was something that he was not able to get over his first, 6 or 7 years on tour.
And he's a guy that is kind of like Scotty, where he just shows up for those elevated events, he's always in contention. When you see that big pot of money, going to be there.
The three wins are two elevated events, Pebble Beach and Wells Fargo, and the U.S. Open. Yeah. He just shows up. Moving on to this week, Valspar Championship, like I said, last leg of the Florida swing before we go to 2 weeks in Texas, and then it is Masters time. Cannot wait for that. One of the most challenging tracks on the PGA Tour coming up this week, the Copperhead Course at Innisbrook Resort, playing a long 7,340 yards, par 71, takes a very, it's not a bomber's paradise by any means. It takes a very good... This takes a unicorn type week to win here. I mean, you've had guys like Sam Burns win here, who's a bruiser of the golf ball. He has had a lot of success at Austin Country Club, which is a very comparable course. But you've had guys like Taylor Moore win last year, who's renowned for his putting. You've had Adam Hadwin win, who's a ball striker. Jordan Spieth, who's kind of a do-it-all but can beat you with a sledgehammer and a paintbrush kind of guy. So this takes a unicorn-type week of ball striking, of putting. No one guy is really going to succeed, I feel like. This is a unicorn-type week, like I've said. I mean, obviously, it has a snake pit, which is one of the toughest three-hole stretches on the PGA Tour. Two massive par fours, a 200-yard par three. Little note here by the PGA Tour. Last year, the rough height was increased to 3.75 inches from 3 inches in the prior years. So the rough... increasing height this year as well. Fairways is going to be paramount to hit. So, really, really looking forward to that. So now we will kind of get into the featured groups, of which were posted by the PGA Tour the other day. As we pull them up here.
I got the first one.
We'll go for it. Here we go. I got it. All right. Round one, 1:23 Eastern time. Brian Harman paired with Xander Schauffele and defending champion Taylor Moore. Who do we like in this group?
This is a fun group. Two of the three guys were in contention last week, and then Taylor Moore, like you said, won it last year. I'm going to go with Harman out of this group. I think he's the toughest out of this group, and at a tough course like this, I think he'll be the one that...
He's a bulldog. He's George Bulldog. Whoa,
whoa. I got Xander this week.
Xander, I like that pick. I'm not going to discount Taylor Moore. He played incredible golf last year when we watched him win. But, yeah, this seems like it's a Xander Schauffele, Brian Harman group to kind of conquer. Round one, 1:45 Eastern time. Bryce Garnett paired with Akshay Bhatia and Billy Horschel. Interesting featured group here. A lot of different names, a lot of different personalities.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Billy Horschel here. I haven't really heard that much about him recently. But this is kind of a course where you need to be a veteran to really play well here. So... that kind of discounts Akshay, who's still a youngin'. I don't even know if he's played this one yet. So, I'm going to go with Billy Horschel.
I got Akshay. I hate to just go against whatever you just said, but...
Yeah, I know. The veteran presence is huge here. Aside from Jordan Spieth, whenever he won it, like 2014, 2015, when he was... I think it was 2015 when he won however many times on tour, including the two majors, when he was, 23, 24, yeah. Something like that. it's older, more experienced guys that win here. So yeah, I like the Billy Horschel take this week.
And Jordan broke every single rule that year. If we want to go back to
it. Oh, absolutely. Speaking of Jordan, round one, 1:34 Eastern time, Jordan Spieth paired with Keegan Bradley and Nick Taylor, a guy that a lot of people were hot on this week. Who do we like?
I am one of those guys that's hot on him. I don't want to spoil my my one and done this week, but Nick Taylor is I like him a lot this week.
I think I'm going to go Jordan this week.
Jordan Spieth. I really like that. I mean, like I said, it's a do-it-all course. You have to have every tool in the toolbox in order to succeed at a place like this. I feel like Jordan's got that. I'm really, really pissing myself off that I'm not going on Keegan Bradley this week because I really do like the guy, but this feels like Jordan Spieth's week.
Can I just add one more thing about Spieth is this is the time you usually see him get one. Usually it's Houston right before the Masters, but he's still gearing up for the Masters at this time, and I think even though I'm going Nick Taylor this week, Spieth could play really well. This is usually his time. He really gears up.
That's a really good point. I mean, I don't think I've ever really seen Jordan play either win or play with a lot of success the early part of the season. Then he'll just kind of step on the gas here, maybe flake in the a major or two or whatever, but be in contention for the other two, and then he'll win two or three more times and make the tour championship. That's just kind of how he plays. That's the Jordan Spieth. That's the Jordan Spieth experience. It's a roller coaster. Round one, 8:13 a.m. Eastern time. Justin Thomas paired with Sam Burns, champion from a couple years ago, as well as Sungjae Im. Who do we like in this group?
I'm going JT. I think maybe this could this isn't the greatest course fit for him, but he's been just kind of gaining a little bit more momentum each week. He's back to maybe not like the peak of Justin Thomas, but he's definitely not where he was a year ago.
No, so absolutely.
I think he'll be the one that comes away out of this group.
The putting woes are still there, very much so.
Yeah, he's still not as balanced as he.
He's not as balanced. The putting woes are still there, but the ball striking is improving. The fairway percentages are improving. The short game is improving. And something that comes to my mind that is not even necessarily really golf related, which is obviously a lot of the breadth of what we talk about here, but he loves playing golf in Florida. Yeah. He loves playing golf in Florida. He's a Florida guy. Plays this event every year and plays pretty well.
I'm also going to go JT this week. I think he, like you guys said, he's played a lot better than last year. But that's not like, it doesn't really like correlate that well. So I think I'm just going to go JT this week.
Yeah. Yep. Round one, 8:35 Eastern time, Gary Woodland paired with last year's runner-up Adam Schenck, as well as Brendan Todd. Who do we like in this group?
This is a group where I think one of these three will be in contention. I don't know which one it is. It's just kind of I remember that guy. He's in contention this week, especially at a course like this where you talked about history. I'm going to go Brendan Todd. Why not? Haven't heard his name in a while.
Haven't heard his name in a long time. I like Adam Schenck out of this group. The success last year, and then I believe he had a pretty successful week at the Rocket Mortgage, if I'm not mistaken. So a couple high finishes as he came down the stretch last year. Haven't really heard a lot about him this year, but I feel like this is the week that it changes. He's comfortable with this course, really good history. I like him, and that's kind of foreshadowing my, one of my picks somewhere along the way. Yeah,
Sam, you said it could be anyone. I think Gary Woodland this week.
I do like him too. Yeah, this week. Round one, 8:24 Eastern time. One of the bigger groups: Cam Young, Tony Finau, Sepp Straka. These are guys that can just blister the golf ball. This is going to be really fun. This is going to be guys hitting home runs out there. Touch them all. This is going to be a really fun group to watch. Who do we like?
I'm going with my guy, Sepp Straka. This is about the time last year.
He's a bulldog. He's a Georgia bulldog.
I became to be a big fan of him, so I'm going with my guy, Sepp, this week.
I'm going to go Tony Finau this week.
Yeah, I got to get on Sepp Straka this week. I mean, I really like Tony Finau. I'm somewhat off Cam Young, even though I believe I have him in a pick here somewhere, and I think he's going to play really well. But, yeah, this Tony Finau, Sepp Straka, I think all these guys are going to play very well this week. That is the final featured group that we will cover here. So now we get to our one and dones. The last time that we did this when we were together was the Genesis Invitational. We made picks for that. Jack, the co-host who can't join us tonight, took Patrick Cantlay in the Genesis. He finished T4. winning $866,667. Jack has a grand total of $1,184,600. Tim takes Colin Morikawa, finishes tied for 19th with a $251,400 payday for a grand total of $583,883. Jackson takes Adam Scott, winner from a few years ago, finishes tied for 19th. Also has $251,400 payday for a grand total of $570,125. I take Max Homa. He finishes tied for 16th, $329,000. And I have made $1,407,700 this year. So who do we like this week?
I'm going with Nick Taylor. I think he could prove to be the guy that comes away this week. He's had some success early this year. He won at Phoenix, and then he also has some pretty good course history here. So I'm going with Nick Taylor. He had a top 10 year last year. So
I got to go Joel Damon. He's had a few down weeks, but he's picked it back up lately, and I think he'll be a dog out here.
He really turned around last week at Sawgrass with the, was it back-to-back 67s?
Yeah. So. I believe so. One of the more targeted picks this week, kind of making us, as he makes his comeback from back surgery on the PGA Tour, is the guy that I have, Daniel Berger. Pretty good success course history-wise. He's also one of those guys that he's kind of got all the tools in the toolbox if he can put it together. He won, what I believe, 2 years in a row at TPC Southwind, which is a very comparable course to this, at the FedEx St. Jude. So I really like Daniel Berger this week as my one and done. Jack takes Sam Burns, champion from a couple years ago. So see how well that works out for him. Three guys to make the cut, our mortal lock of the week, one to finish top 10. Who do we have?
I'm going Adam Shank, who was second last year, and then Doug Gim, who surprisingly was 12th overall on the odds. He's been pretty consistent lately with a couple, I think it's five straight top 15s, so that's pretty impressive. And then Maverick McNealy, he's kind of been, we haven't seen a lot of him playing as good recently. He had a few decent,
played well last week.
Was it last week?
I think he had a top 10 last week. Anyway,
so I'm going with him. And then Brian Harman for my top 10. Like I said, he's just a dog. This is a course where he will succeed.
For my make the cut, I got Sepp Straka, Keegan Bradley, and Akshay Bhatia. Three guys that could all just, you know, lock in and be top five if they really wanted to be. For my top 10, I got Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, past champion. I really like him this week. I was going to take him as my one and done if I had not used him earlier this year. My three guys to make the cut, I really like these guys, renowned for their putting ability, especially my second one, and just kind of do it all guys. Matt Kuchar, Luke Donald, Sung J.M. These are guys that find the fairway. They hit greens. If they can throw a putter in there. This is a very tough short game course, too. You need to be locked in. Shorter areas, 25 to 30 yards and in, is really going to prove pivotal this week. I think all those guys have the recipe to make the cut, if not go a little bit lower than that. My top 10, like I said, it was foreshadowing one of my picks. He's in a featured group. I like Adam Shank this week, defending runner-up, if you will. I really like him to finish in the top 10 this week. That leads us to our favorite prop bets, because we all left Vegas here. So what do we have for our favorite prop bets?
Continuing with my Nick Taylor love, I'm going with him as the top Canadian at plus 230. His really only competition is Adam Hadwin this week. They're similar odds. And then I got Brian Harman over Minwoo Lee, another pick I like. And Minwoo, I mean, I love the TikTok edits, but he's been slacking a little late. He was T40 to T50 the last few weeks. And then Brendan Todd, top 10 plus 750. I think this is kind of a shot in the dark, but I like the odds a lot. So yeah, Brendan Todd, have a week.
My three are Jordan Spieth over 4.5 birdies in round one at plus 120. I think that's free. Sepp Straka, top European at plus 500, and he was actually tied with someone else, I forget his name, top year at being plus 500. And then Joel Damon over Ryan Fox at minus 115. I think that's just, you can throw that in with something else and turn it in free money.
Ryan Fox coming off an ace, the only ace at 17 last week, and Joel Damon threw together a couple really good rounds. Maybe he's kind of rounding into form as he's whatever. He always likes to say that he's like the 70th, 80th, 90th best golfer in the world because somebody's got to do it. But, you know, who knows? He might qualify for a couple majors this year, might gain a few spots. I like any two of Cam Young, Tony Finau, Sung J M to finish in the top five. I feel like that's pretty free money. Maybe not on the Cam Young side, but I really like him. In this environment, in the grouping that he's in, Tony Finau, I feel like we've talked about veteran experience. He's got a lot of the veteran experience that goes into playing well here. And Sung J M's kind of just one of those do-it-all. He's got every tool in the toolbox kind of guy. And can really succeed at a place like this. So any two to finish in the top five, those are plus 1,300 odds. I like Justin Thomas under 4.5 birdies round one, that's minus 150. You know, we talked about him a lot, and there's still that little missing ingredient there. I feel like that he's rounding it. He's playing. He's played some great golf this year. Had a hell of a run at the Players Championship. But I like under 4.5 birdies round one because this is one of those courses that's really going to come back to bite you if you don't have every single thing working for you this week. And I like the winner in the final grouping, no, plus 175. It was yes, minus 330, I believe. I like no, plus 175. This is one of those tournaments where you're going to have a guy go 9, 10, 11, 12 under, and it's going to be just a lot of guys sandwiched there. You're going to have 15, 20 guys within 5 or 6 shots of the lead come the end of the third round, I feel like, of which any of those guys could catch a heater on Sunday and come back to win it by a shot. I feel like a playoff is probably inevitable this week, but I don't have that in my favorite prop bets. So, yeah, winner in the final grouping, no, plus 175. I like a guy to come from behind this week. So a relatively new segment here on the Long Drive, our live four-man build a parlay. What do we have this week? I'll start it off with Jack, who's not here. He likes a Nick Taylor top 20 at plus 150 odds, which I feel like a lot of people are going to get behind.
Yeah, like you, Gray, I'm a believer of Daniel Berger this week. I think he's really going to start turning things around because he's been there before, and it's more of an injury thing than a mental thing.
Yeah.
So I think he can just, once he gets his body back, I like the odds at plus 320 to go top 20. So. Mm.
I like Doug Gim top 20 at plus 160. I think, Tim, you were the one who told me about Doug Gim's top 15s recently, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of on a tear, sort of.
He's consistent right now, and that's what I like going into a tough course.
He's playing consistent golf. I feel like at some point, maybe in a smaller event, like a Rocket Mortgage or something of that extent, Valero, Texas, that he could win an event like that. Maybe a little bit softer field. He's playing great golf. I feel like this is the calm before the storm where he's kind of building up and then he just wins. And then maybe he wins 4 or 5 times throughout his career. Yeah, I really like that this week. I'm going Bo Hostler, top 20, plus 200. Just another one of those guys that can kind of put it all together, very straight driver of the golf ball. Those odds are plus 200. I really like those. So throw all those into a four-leg parlay. Total odds are plus 8,247. $10 to pay out $834.70.
Give you some extra bankroll going into March Madness.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, yeah, going into March Madness, going into baseball season. I love baseball parlays, even though betting on Major League Baseball is one of the toughest things to possibly do. Anything else before we sign off this week? Just looking forward to a great weekend of golf, basketball. Oh, basketball. Who wins the NCAA tournament? This is a really...
it's hard not to just go UConn again.
And you have to go UConn, but I don't know. It's
UConn or MSU. How about that?
Oh, it's a tough one. Who got?
Oh, whatever. Whoever comes out of our region. UNC.
It's not going to be North Carolina, I can tell you that. Really? I think Arizona wins. I'm a huge believer in the Arizona style and the starting five this year. Very experienced.
They got
five.
Bounced by a 15 seed last year.
NC State Elite Eight. You heard it here first.
Texas Tech is good. I like that.
Texas Tech is good. Purdue can't do it, obviously. I feel like Houston could make a run, just very defensively sound team.
Even though I don't like Calipari, I think Kentucky has a pretty fun team this year with Dillingham.
So. Oh, Dillingham, Reed Shepard. There's two freshmen that are going to end up being lottery picks come June for the draft. That's going to be really fun to watch.
They're shaky, though.
They are. They're super volatile. They could really be a first round exit or a final four.
I'm really worried about the whole thing because my prized brackets, the ones that I've put the most time into because I fill out a million. Each of the last 2 years, I had Kentucky in 2022, bounced by a 15 seed first round. I had Arizona last year, bounced by a 15 seed first round. I'm probably going to go Arizona again this year. Hopefully this whole little like magical Cinderella thing with Long Beach State, they go fire their coach and then they win the conference tournament to make it to March Madness. Hopefully that doesn't continue, but we'll see. Everybody here is prepared for a great weekend. Hopefully you have one too. Thank you all so much for listening. Catch us every week for the remainder of the season. Make sure to check out all of Impact 89 FM's other podcasts. This has been The Long Drive on Impact 89 FM.